and unknown, in whom we live and move and have our being, uncontained, unconstrained by any walls, origin, designer, maker of all that is. God, known and unknown, setting times and spaces of our existence nearer than ever we knew. Yet we search and fumble, finding you are never far away. God, known and unknown, unlike the most precious gold, finer than silver, greater than any image could portray, command a turnaround in our thinking and being and doing. God, known and unknown, Lord and mystery of heaven and of earth, fixing the day when your appointed one will judge, proving his worth by raising him from death. God, known, God, unknown, worshipped, argued over, proclaimed and wondered at, God. Well, good morning, everyone. And welcome on this lovely sunny day. I hope the sunshine is going to stay around. I have got garden furniture that needs painted this afternoon. The order of service is quite a few intimations, and I've got another two to actually give you. A reminder that we have a retiring offering at the end of the service today, and the retiring offering is in aid of a charity based on the island of Chios in Greece, the Chios Eastern Shore Rescue Team. They're a group that I met when I was on Chios doing some voluntary work, and they do all kinds of things among the refugees on the island, but primarily they started up by being on the shores ready to welcome the folk off the boats and to ensure that when they arrived they had clean clothes, clean dry clothes, and that they got the help that, that they needed when they arrived. So that's who the retiring offering for is today. Yesterday morning, the cult's mother and toddler group raised £280 at their coffee morning. So a big thank you to all who helped in any way make that possible. The support of cult's church is very much appreciated, is the message that I've got here. I certainly enjoyed my fancy pieces. They were very, very good. Just to highlight another couple of the intimations, on Wednesday evening this week, I'm going down to Fetereso Church to speak at the Kincardine Guild Presbyterial Council, and I'm going to give the same talk that I gave at the annual stated meeting. And so if anybody wasn't able to go to that meeting and would like to come to Fetereso with me on Wednesday, you'd be very welcome. I have room in my car for 3 passengers, so if anybody would like to come, let me know and I can arrange a pickup time with you. The other two I want to just highlight are the Omar Amargau Passion Play in 2020. And I mentioned this last week, and I've got about 15 or 16 names now of people who are interested in going. So my plan is not this week, but maybe the following week to hold a meeting of those that can make it at that particular time to give you more information. So if you're interested, it's not too late, please just let me know and I'll let you know the time of and date of that meeting. And then the final one, just to highlight, the hub along at the Kirk Centre relies heavily on volunteers, but the volunteer team at the moment is being stretched somewhat. And the girls in the cafe would love to hear from anybody who might be interested in giving up maybe an hour or two every so often to help out. You're not expected to turn up at 9:30 in the morning and not get away until 3:30. You know, there's different ways that the volunteers are used. So if you are interested and can help in any way, then please contact either Tracy or June, and their phone numbers are there. So I'll leave you to read everything else that's there. We are here to worship the Lord of heaven and earth, the maker of the world and everything in it, the one who gives life and breath to all things. For in God we live and move and have our being. Let's stand and praise God together. Our hymn is 181, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Thank you.
come to God in prayer. Lord God, you made the world and everything in it. You are Lord of heaven and earth. Nothing that we can do as humanity can contain you. No shrine made by human hands can restrict your movement across the face of the earth. What do you need from us? After all, you give life and breath to all mortal things. Nothing is beyond your capabilities. History is a testimony to your creativity and permanence in the lives of your people. You have guided, protected, and settled your people, determining where we live, the place, and the time. Our existence is dependent on you. What do you need from us? You ask us to search for you, even though in truth you are never far from each one of us. We have been made in your image, and in you we live and move and have our being. Lord, you are not like gold or silver or stone, precious though these earthly elements are. You are never lost, used up, or tarnished. You are overflowing in energy and love for all your people. It is you and you alone that we worship this day. In our hearts, in our music, in our minds, as we share commonality and peace with each other, we bring our praise to you. Merciful God, though we seek to show faithfulness in our worship and our living, you know that often we make mistakes. Sometimes we are tired, regularly we lose focus. It's so easy to offer less than we are capable of in terms of service to you and others. As the living God, you call all people everywhere to repent. You are judge of our living, yet you are never without mercy or kindness. You have in Christ, by raising him from the dead, provided the assurance to all that you are always ready for us when we turn to you, seeking restored relationship and forgiveness. So today we come before you, and in the silence of our own prayers, we seek what only you can give. Lord, in your mercy, we have been heard, we have been loved, we have been forgiven. Thanks to you, generous God. Amen. Harry is now going to come and read to us from Acts.
The reading today is from Acts chapter 17, verse 16, reading from verse 16, page 171 on the New Good News Bibles. The heading of the reading is In Athens. While Paul was waiting in Athens for Silas and Timothy, he was greatly upset when he noticed how full of idols the city was. So he held discussions in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentiles who worshiped God, and also in the public square every day with the people who happened to come by. Certain Epicurean Stoic teachers also debated with him. Some of them asked, "What is this ignorant show-off trying to say?" Others answered, "He seems to be talking about foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching about Jesus and the resurrection. So they took Paul, brought him before the city council, the Areopagus, and said, "We would like to know what this new teaching is that you're talking about. Some of the things we hear you say sound strange to us, and we'd like to know what they mean. For all the citizens of Athens and the foreigners who live there like to spend all their time telling and hearing the latest new thing." Paul stood up in front of the city council and said, "I see that in every way you Athenians are very religious. For as I walked through your city and looked at the places where you worship, I found an altar on which is written, 'To an unknown God.' That's what you worship then, even though you do not know it, is what I now proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, is Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples made by human hands. Nor does he need anything that he can supply by working for him, since he himself who gives life and breath and everything else to everyone. From one human being, he created all races of people and made them live throughout the whole earth. He himself fixed beforehand the exact times and the limits of places where they would live. He did this so that they would look for him and perhaps find him as they felt around for him. Yet God is actually not far from any one of us. As someone has said, in him we live and move and exist. It is as some of your poets have said, we too are his children. Since we are God's children, we should not suppose that his nature is anything like an image of gold or silver or stone shaped by human art and skill. God has overlooked the times when people did not know him, but now he commands all of them everywhere to turn away from their evil ways. For he has fixed a day in which he will judge the whole world with justice by means of man he has chosen. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising that man from death. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen.
Thank you, Harry. We stand and sing again. This time our hymn is 134, Bring Many Names, Beautiful and Good.
Thank you.
Our reading from Acts this morning finds Paul in Athens, and Athens is the cultural centre of Greece, and he's with the Areopagus on the Hill of Mars, which overlooks the Acropolis, the iconic image that we all have of Athens. The Hill of Mars gives you an excellent view over ancient Athens and is worth the hike up the hill. Just take some water. I speak from personal experience. A historic place, it might be described as the ancient Supreme Court, where matters of law were debated and decided upon. It's suggested that the background to this visit by Paul could very well have been as the result of an invitation extended to him by some higher echelon. We have heard him debate in the public market of Athens, and those who have desired a more intimate and quiet exposition from Paul have invited him to talk. Namely, they wanted to know about this new teaching that he'd been encouraging people to adopt. And Paul eloquently does this. His speech is polite, drawing his listener in with compliments and hiding his anger at all the idols he has seen around the city. It is plain to see that you Athenians take your religion seriously. When I arrived the other day, I was fascinated by all the shrines I came across. Paul is the diplomat. But he's spotted his way into teaching them about his faith, the shrine to the unknown God. And then he is off. This unknown God is his God, the Creator God. Let's hear again Paul's speech, but this time I'm going to read it from the Message translation of our reading. This is how Eugene Peterson has transcribed this. I am here to introduce you to this God so you can worship intelligently and know who you are dealing with. The God who made the world and everything in it, this master of sky and land, doesn't live in custom-made shrines or need the human race to run errands for him, as if he couldn't take care of himself. He makes the creatures don't make him. Starting from scratch, he made the entire human race and made the earth hospitable, with plenty of time and space for living, so we could seek after God, and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote, he's near. We live and move in him, can't get away from him. One of your poets said it well, we're the God created. Well, if we are the God created, it doesn't make a lot of sense to think we could hire a sculptor to chisel a God out of stone for us, does it? God overlooks it as long as you don't know any better. But that time is past. The unknown is now known, and he's calling for a radical life change. He has set a day when the entire human race will be judged and everything set right. He has already appointed the judge, confirming him before everyone by raising him from the dead. Paul is being very clever here. He talks to the gathering in words and language that they understand, and he even quotes one of their poets to them. He casts his line and then attempts to reel them in, and certainly some are impressed, although not all. This is an evangelistic speech, and Paul is clever enough to understand the need to speak to his listeners in a way that they appreciate and understand. He meets them on their terms. He is articulate and authentic and attempting to describe God. And although he uses the language of the crowd and connects it to the real life, he is not merely pandering to the crowd and giving them what they want to hear. He finds enough common ground, but at the same time, he challenges them. Some feel they cannot follow him. Maybe they do not understand him. Maybe they reject what he says, or do not like the God and faith he describes. Some, however, if we'd read further, we would have read, do make the decision to believe in God. Now, for me, our reading today raises two questions, and I have the answer to neither. The first is, how should we describe God? If you had to put into words your image of God, what words would you use? I've got a wee story that might help with this. There were once three artists who all loved God. One was a sculptor who made statues and ornaments in bronze. One was a painter who made huge pictures on big canvas boards. And one was a stonemason who wrote memorials and made carvings in stone. One day they got talking about a big question. What is God like? What is God really like? The sculptor said to the painter, "Can you paint a picture to show what God is like?" And the painter thought about it and then asked the stonemason, "Could you make a carving to show what God is like?" The stonemason thought about it and then asked the sculptor, "Could you sculpt a sculpture to show what God is like?" They all decided they would try to use their best skills as artists to make something that would show what God is like. And they worked for days, for weeks, for months, the painter with brushes and a big canvas board and lots of paint. The sculptor with wax and plaster to make the mold, then the hot molten bronze. The stonemason with chisels and hammers and big lumps of rock. At last, all their work was finished and they were ready to show off what they had done. What was God like? What did their painting and sculpting and carving show about what God is really like? The sculptor went first. "Look, here is my bronze sculpture." And there it was, a big statue of a man who looked old and wise, with a long beard and a kind face, dressed in a flowing robe and sitting with one hand on one knee, his head tilted to one side. And if you stood right in front of the statue, it seemed that the wise old man was looking straight at you. The sculptor's friends were impressed. "What an amazing statue. Is this what God is like?" The painter went next. "Look, here's my painting." And what a fine painting it was. A huge canvas board with a background of swirling, sweeping black brushstrokes like outer space. Then there were streaks of bright colours, flashes of white and yellow, orange and pink, tiny dots and curving circles. You could keep looking at it for ages and keep seeing something new. Is this what God is like? Then the stonemason stood up and he said, I thought, what is God like? How can anyone possibly say or show it in a carving? Look, here is my carving. Oh, just one word, just one single beautifully carved word on the slab of smooth marble. One word to say what God is like. What do you think was the stonemason's word? If you had one word for what God is like, what would it be? Well, the stonemason chose the word unknown. To each of us, God will be different. Our understanding of him and the influence and impact he has on our lives will be different. Because we are all individuals. And how we experience life, how we experience God, is unique to us. Certainly, there will be overlaps, but we cannot and should not try and impose our God view onto others. And yet, and this leads me on to my second question, how do we respond to Paul's speech? How do we follow his example? Well, okay, that's two questions. Paul's speech is a challenge to each of us. It's a challenge that asks that we share our experience of God and God's love with others. How we do that will depend on who we are and how we feel comfortable doing this. But it's a good starting point. We can gather faithfully in worship each week and be a living demonstration of the centrality of God to our lives. The Outreach Core Group is always looking for ways to reach out into our communities and extend a welcome to our neighbours. And as part of their work, the group are working on a weekend of invitation as part of a national weekend of invitation campaign. A weekend of events have been planned with the aim of providing opportunities for all of us to invite people we know, friends, family, neighbours, to come along and join in the activities that are planned. There will be more information coming forth, amongst a publicity push. But the dates are the 14th to the 17th of June. Put those dates in your diary. And the events will include messy church, a sports quiz with beer, an afternoon tea dance, a family film show, and all culminating in a service of celebration on the Sunday morning. Something for everyone. Perhaps you can think of a few folk to invite along, and in doing so, respond to the challenge and encouragement offered by Paul in his speech to the Athenians. We don't all have his mastery of eloquent speeches, but we can all perhaps offer an invitation to come and see. Come and be our guest. Because God is a God worth sharing. As Paul said, starting from scratch, he made the entire human race and made the earth hospitable, with plenty of time and space for living, so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote. He's near. We live and move in him. Can't get away from him. Amen. We continue to worship, this time in our offering. Let us pray. Lord God, in our buildings that have been dedicated as churches, in our homes that hold a special security and sense of comfort, in our communities where we enjoy freedom and the chance to enjoy all the opportunities, Let there be an acceptable return in the acknowledgement we make, appreciating all that you have given to us. May we live respectfully within creation and generously in the kindness we show. Receive these gifts we now present to you. Bless them, and may they be used to build the kingdom here in this place and beyond. Amen. You're all coming in very quietly. Were you this quiet all the way through Sunday school? Were you? No, I didn't think so. That would have been a surprise. So what have you all brought? You've been busy doing things. What have you been doing?
We can't find bread anywhere.
You can't find bread anywhere?
No.
Oh, they've got a little quiz sheet here. And it's entitled The Last Supper. And you've got to find lots of words, and you've not been able to find bread.
No.
Oh.
Only bread.
Well, I have a look and see if I can find it. This is difficult, isn't it? Is anybody any good at word searches? Maybe it's on a diagonal. Did anybody find bread? Did Andrew not even find bread? Maybe there isn't bread. Maybe that's the word that's missing, and that's what, oh, right, okay, but you've got, so you've been learning about the Last Supper. Well, that's really great because very shortly, that's exactly what we're going to reenact in a way, in our way, when we have our time of communion. Oh, what have you got?
I added an E in the last.
You added an E so that you could make up the word bread. I think you're just a wee bit clever. A wee bit clever. Very good. Well, we've been thinking in church. We had a really good reading this morning in church that Harry read to us, and we've been thinking about Paul, the apostle, and he was in a city called Athens, which is in Greece, and he was speaking to the people there, and we were kind of posing ourselves a question as part of what we were thinking about was, who is God, and how would we describe God? And I didn't come up with any answers for anyone. Left folk to really think about that themselves. But one of the things I was saying was about how we are all different. And so how we come to God in different ways, and we have a different understanding, a different word that we might use. But what's fantastic about church is that we can all come into this building, each one of us with our different ideas, and be together. And we often use a word to describe the church and the folk that gather together, and we call ourselves the church family. And so we gather on a Sunday morning as the church family. Now, what kind of things do families do together? Can you think of anything that you do together as families? What kind of things do families do together? You don't know. Well, you got to go for a sleepover last night, didn't you? And you got sick.
Yes.
Too much birthday cake, apparently. Too much birthday cake. So when you were staying at Granny and Granda's last night, what did you do?
We went on the sewing machine.
And
made dresses.
And you made dresses.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Do you think when I'm round at your Granny and Granda's in a couple of weeks, Ken's time, that maybe on the Friday night, Mary can whittle me up a dress. Do you think?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, so did you have a meal with your granny and granddad last night? Yes.
Yeah.
They did feed you?
Yeah.
Well, that's a relief, isn't it? And that's one of the things that families do together, isn't it? They sit down and share a meal together. And that's exactly what we're about to do when we come to the Lord's table, the communion table, the Lord's table there. And it's already set out with bread and a little bit of wine. And we're going to share a very special meal together. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. But we're going to first of all sing a song that reminds us that we're all part of the big family of God. It's another new song to y'all. Another one I hope you're going to really like. There's a little action in the chorus, when it comes to the chorus and it says, and you, and you, and you, and you, very simple action. It's just, I'd like you to turn to the people around you and remind them that they are loved by God and also part of God's family. Okay, so it's and you, you can turn around and you can point to the people at the back of the church as well if you like. Okay. Have you not got the words? Oh, right, well, we'll find enough. Is Andrew going to find some words? I can give you mine because I know most of the words. Can you share one between two? You're all going to sing as well. And you'll be doing the actions too. So, there we go. Right, I've got four here. Here we go. Did you? You can't read it. We're all sorted. You're not getting out of it then. Who needs their words back? You're not getting away with this. You're going to... You've all got... Who's not got? Is it me? Okay, right. So let's sing together. The big family of God. Some of us are big and tall. Some of us are very small. Some of us like pink and some like blue. Some of us like reading duck books. Some of us like feeding ducks. That's because we're different, me and you. Are very small. Some of us like pink and some like blue. Some of us like reading books. Some of us like feeding ducks. That's because we're different, me and you. But God loves everyone He's made. Some of us have specs to wear. All of us have different families. Some of us are very loud.
Some of us don't make a sound.
That's because we're different, me and me. But God loves everyone He's made. Tradition says that at our last meal, Jesus, sharing bread and wine, invited the disciples to share his journey. Here today, through bread and wine, we renew our journey with Jesus and his disciples. Here today, through bread and wine, we renew our unity with one another and with all those who have gone before us in this place. Here today, through bread and wine, we renew our communion with the earth and our interwovenness with the broken ones of the world. We are reminded again of the tradition that surrounds this story. Long ago, on the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. This bread is broken as my body will be. And he handed it to his friends and invited them to eat. Remember all that I have been to you. Long ago, on that same night, Jesus poured a cup of wine, offered thanks for it, and gave it to his friends. This wine is poured out as my life will be. Remember me and give thanks for all I have given. And so as Jesus did that night before supper, he turned to God and he prayed. So let's do the same. Let us pray. Creating God, source of life, we offer our thanks. The smell of freshly cut grass, the surprise of birds in flight, the taste of fresh fruit, for all gifts simple and profound in country and city, in field or garden, in the air or in our own water, we give you thanks. We who hold all such good things in trust give thanks to you as Creator God, joining in the praise of all your people. All holy, 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 heaven and earth are holy and good. Holy is peace, all holy is truth, holy is love. In this season of transition, as the colours of new life sprout forth and our hearts long for warmth as the days lengthen, once again we are reminded that new possibilities can rise from our failures or disappointments or what has come to an end. We give thanks for all the influences in our lives that have helped us to see beyond the present, that teach us to combine labour and rest, that bring us the cycles of time and season that sustain us when we are in need. Oh, God loves in us. God cares through us. God laughs in us. God cries in us as nowhere else. We give thanks for the sage called Jesus of Nazareth, gatherer of folk, teller of stories, breaker of bread, pourer of wine, compassionate weaver of lives. In his life, wisdom, stories, and social vision, we recall the words he spoke to call forth in us love, care, and respect for one another. All, and we believe, are in the same Spirit of God that came to visibility in Jesus, yearns for visible expression in us. So now we take this bread and this wine. May they be a constant presence of the Spirit of life and love, healing and renewing and making us whole. All together we remember our past. Together we discern our present. Together we shape our future. Amen. So this bread is broken and shared. Body of Christ. And this wine is poured and shared. So come, taste of this same bread and wine, gifts of the earth, work of human hands. May the bread and the wine and the remembering be a blessing on us all. And may the peace of God be with us all. Please turn to those around you and share a sign of the peace. This could be a handshake, a hug, or even a peck on the cheek if you feel comfortable doing that. Peace be with you, George.
Thank you.
Let's turn to God in prayer again. Lord God, sometimes it seems to us that we, when we try to pray, our words come as a babble and a nonsense. We determine that in approaching you, we must be eloquent and appropriate in our words. Others seem so much better than we do at finding the right words, at finding the perfect way to sum up the desires for the world that we followers store in our hearts. Others seem better able to debate and to discuss, and when we gather in groups within our church family. Others speak more clearly, present arguments with energy and purpose in a way we find difficult. When it comes to participating in worship and speaking at meetings, we are often hesitant for fear of getting things muddled. Yet, Lord, you teach us that all of this matters less than the convictions of our hearts and the integrity of our devotion. Today in our babbling, in the outpouring of prayer from the heart and having shared in our memorial meal, we pray that we might be a people who are more confident in the value we offer and more accepting that our prayers for the world are legitimate and are heard. Today we pray for creation, the land, the water, the air. Let us find ways to look after it, for it belongs to you and it is intended to be shared with all. Today we pray for all living things, that we do not take the brilliance of variety in the plant and animal kingdom for granted. And we pray for your people. Let there be justice, healing, comfort, opportunity, acceptance, and love for each of us, for all and between us. Hear our prayer. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 124, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Yeah.
into the unknown we step this week, doing so with faith and assurance, confident that while we do not have all the answers, we are on the way, companions of Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, and we go with God's blessing always.